Chief Fire.
Partly sunny skies this morning, and then a little more clearing is in the forecast. High temperatures, low 50s, and we could see some breezy east winds through the day.
FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:05 Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Thursday, the 5th of February. Thank you for joining us this morning. Here's what we're going to do today. First part of the show, Sarah Fox is here. We're going to talk about the Sense of Place event, the next one coming up for the month of February. I believe it's on the 18th, if I remember right. Also, Lisa Perry is going to join us on the phone because this is going to be about farming, this next one, family farms in particular, so we will discuss that. Second half, Cameron Dietz Fuller, OSU Extension, Wasco County, will be our guest, and we're going to talk about some clubs they've got going. They have a video game coding club. Getting ready for some STEM projects and camps this summer. A lot of after-school clubs involving robotics, etc. So we'll talk all about that in the second half of the show this morning. But first, as we always do, let's tell you about what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. 1917, Congress passed the Immigration Act of 1917 over President Woodrow Wilson's veto, an act that severely curtailed Asian immigration and mandated immigrant literacy testing. 1918, more than 200 people were killed during World War I when the Cunard liner SS Tuscania, which was transporting over 2,000 American troops to Europe, was torpedoed by a German U-boat in the Irish Sea. 1971, Apollo 14 astronauts Alan Shepard and Edgar Mitchell stepped onto the surface of the moon in the first of two lunar excursions. 1973, services were held at Arlington National Cemetery for Army Colonel William Nolde, the last official American combat casualty before the Vietnam ceasefire took effect. 1993, President Bill Clinton signed the Family and Medical Leave Act, granting workers up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave for family emergencies. 1994, white separatist Byron Della Beckwith was convicted in Jackson, Mississippi, of murdering civil rights leader Medgar Evers in 1963 and was sentenced to life in prison. 2017, Tom Brady, one of the greatest comebacks in NFL history, highlighted by a spectacular Julian Edelman catch to uplift New England from a 25-point deficit against the Atlanta Falcons to give the Patriots their fifth Super Bowl victory, 34-28. It was the first Super Bowl to end in overtime. 2020, the Senate voted to acquit President Donald Trump, bringing to a close the third presidential trial in American history. Though a majority of senators expressed unease with Trump's pressure campaign in Ukraine, that resulted in the two articles of impeachment. Just one Republican, Mitt Romney of Utah, broke with the GOP and voted to convict. 2023, Beyoncé won her 32nd Grammy to become the most decorated artist in the history of the award. Our days for today, it's California Western Monarch Day. We salute the Western Monarch Butterfly. It is Disaster Day today. However you would like to define a disaster, there you go. It is National Shower with a Friend Day. Not sure I should go into that with any detail. It's also National Weather Person's Day today. Here we are back again. Do they keep saying, oh, it's going to be partly sunny? It's partly sunny, and it's not partly sunny. It's gray. Food today, it's National Chocolate Fondue Day today, which is something nice and warm. Of course, it's not that cold out there, so I guess we're not looking to warm up necessarily. But anyway, that's what we got for what it's worth. 8:08 in the morning, we'll come back after this.
Attention, have you racked up $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? With credit card debt reaching all-time highs, National Debt Relief is notifying consumers about significant debt relief options currently being made available to help those with overwhelming credit card debt. These options may reduce a large portion of credit card debt for those who qualify. You don't need to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan, and you may only have to pay back a fraction of what you owe, even if you have bad credit. National Debt Relief has already reduced the credit card debt for more than 550,000 consumers, so don't wait. If you owe $10,000, $20,000, or even $100,000 in credit card debt, you can now take advantage of this financial debt relief as the cost of living continues to skyrocket. To check what debt reduction you may qualify for, call 800 800-690-6464. That's 800-690-6464. Again, that's 800-690-6464.
Have you hugged an alpaca today? Hi, this is Angela. Visit Cedar Creek Alpacas and you might just get to hug Jasper, the famous alpaca. Come meet all the adorable new baby alpacas from this year. There are babies everywhere. There's a reason Cedar Creek Alpacas was voted best in the gorge in attraction, family entertainment, and gift shop. So plan your visit today and create unforgettable memories. More at cedarcreekalpacas.com. Cedar Creek Alpacas. We're just 10 minutes off Highway 14 in Cook, Washington. The alpacas can't wait to see you.
Spring sports are just around the corner. Stand out from the crowd and show off your team pride with equipment and apparel boldly branded with your team logo. Hi, this is Dawn with Summit Embroidery Works. We have the best products to get your team geared up and ready for the season, from hats and jerseys that fit your budget to the fun souvenirs that show off your amazing team logo and for the fans to take home. Summit Embroidery Works on Highway 14 in Bingen. Let us put your logo to work for you.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
It is 8:10 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today on this Thursday. Sarah Fox is here from Sense of Place. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you. We'll have you back because you are coming up on another event in 2 weeks, February
yes.
the 18th. And this time, I think you're going to delve into the world of family farms, aren't you?
Yeah, which I think I've come a long ways on agriculture, particularly in the Valley.
Okay.
When I was first starting, my time at Sense of Place, I really wanted to hear from more farmers, and I kept reaching out in spring when our season mm-hmm. ended, and no one would get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have since realized what an idiot I was, because spring is when they have four jobs all going on at
yes.
once, basically. They're doing a million things, and of course they're not getting back to me. And so mm-hmm. learning this simple cycle of the growing season was my first step.
Mm-hmm.
But since that point, what I've come to learn is, particularly here in the Hood River Valley, but the Gorge too, how unique we are to have so many family farms.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's not necessarily a size thing. It's a multiple generations
yeah.
have been here growing. And what happens when you have multiple generations is that they're doing way more than just growing food. They
mm.
are parts of our community. Their kids go here. They're volunteering at schools. They know the land. They understand the microclimates.
Mm.
They've seen things shift. There's just a knowledge and connection to place that you get on family farms that is wholly unique and I think so important to this place.
And that is why we have Lisa Perry on the phone with us, because she is going to be a presenter at the Sense of Place event on the 18th of February. And Lisa farms with her husband Ricardo Galvez, I think up in the Pine Grove area, right?
Yeah, we farm outside of Odell and, okay. and in Parkdale.
All right. So how you're a fourth generation farmer, I guess, but tell me a little of the story of farming for you, because it sounds like for most farmers, it hasn't always exactly been an easy trip through agriculture.
Yeah, that's correct. So first I should say good morning, Mark, and good morning, Sarah. And
good morning
to everybody out there. Yeah. So agriculture is one of those occupations. I have a lot of people ask me, like, why do you do this? It is so much work. It is such hard labor. And I don't know if I have a really good answer for why. Part of it feels like it's in my blood. And that might sound like a silly answer, but why else would you do this? Because I'm addicted to seeing a season complete itself, like from the very beginning to like actually harvesting the fruit. And I also have a little farm stand, and so I get to really see that complete cycle. So when people get to taste, say, like a peach right after I pick it, that's pretty motivational to keep me going to the next season.
Now, did you stay on the farm, if you will, after you grew up, or did you, like so many others, I'll hear the story of, they left for a while to do something else and came back?
Yeah, that's a great question. I loved being outside, like during my childhood years, and I really appreciated the time that I did spend on the farm, because not every child has that opportunity. I did go away for a little while, and ironically, I ended up injuring my back to the point where I was unable to walk. I really didn't know what I was going to do with my life, and I took some time away. I moved out of Oregon, and all of a sudden, I had this realization, like a Venn diagram, if you will. If you think about the things that you are good at, the things that can bring value to people, and like what I wanted to do with my life, I started kind of filling in those blanks and trying to think like, okay, what am I going to do? And farming really connected everything. I wanted a healthy lifestyle. I wanted to help other people be healthy, and I really wanted to continue the awesome livelihood and lifestyle that I got to see growing up within the orchard. So while not, I wouldn't say it was a clear path for me, like I didn't want to be a farmer right from the get-go, but as I got a little bit older, I saw how farming would allow me to have a little bit of everything, the educational component, the creative space. And then I also just really love my community, and I have found this a wonderful way to keep involved in my community.
And I asked that because one thing I noticed in your bio, there's a line here that was given. When her father lost the farm, which, I mean, it sounds like you've had to confront, you know, the difficulties and the financial struggles that agriculture bring in a very real basis.
Yeah, I think it's easy for a lot of us to paint farming as a very romantic occupation, but that's far from the truth. There is, I mean, a lot of chronic health problems with the occupation of farming, and suicide rates are really high for farmers. And the 80s was not a good time for farms. That's when you saw a lot of consolidation and the market. There's just so many things going against farmers, and that's outside of their control. And when you have, like, people who have been on farms for generations, I mean, think about that stress of trying to keep your family business going when you have so many headwinds against you. So I know that was, it was very challenging for my father, and yes, he ultimately did lose the land. And so I feel even more grateful that while I took kind of a side hiatus, if you will, and I was able to get back into farming because of, not a string of good luck, but I had to chase after it a little bit. It was not just walk through the doorway and, oh my gosh, here's this land that I get to farm. And same with my husband. His family came up from Guamo, Mexico in the 70s, and they started their way, they started working at farms and are now incredible community members and a true success story for immigrants coming to the valley and making a wonderful life for themselves and their future generations. Mm-hmm. So it was not just like this easy path for neither my husband nor myself.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the challenges that agriculture faces in this area is the reality that the farmers themselves, you do the growing of the food, you produce it, but when it comes to the money that comes out of it, you're really almost last on the chain, aren't you?
Yes, 100%, Mark, and I think a lot of people don't understand that. Most businesses get to send an invoice and say, like, okay, payment is due within 30 days. Well, that's not how it works in farming. We will actually not see money for the 2025 crop until late 2026. And there might be a little bit of money trickling in, but you have big-time expenses that you have to cover up front before you see last year's crop money coming in. And unfortunately, it looks like the 2025 crop is not going to be very lucrative. So everybody's going to be on a shoestring budget, which makes it really hard to cover the next season's costs. And you don't know what that's going to be. We could have a really long frost season the way we've started off with this mild winter. And running frost stands is a very expensive component to farming. But you have to protect your crop, because if you have a couple bad nights, you can either have marked up fruit, which makes it unmarketable and unsellable, or you could lose your entire crop with that cold. And there's just a lot of expenses that go into farming. And yes, you're right. The farmer is the very last person on that chain to be paid.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, are there options for the farmer to be able to develop other sources of revenue besides that? 'Cause I know you mentioned the farm stand. Is that one of the ways that you try to even this out a little bit for you? Well, I can't think of the term.
That's a great, even out is kind of a good way to think about it. the farm stand definitely allows income to be coming in right then and there. Like, I'm harvesting peaches and I'm having income coming in because it's a very perishable product. You cannot hold on for it for months. But like Sarah said, farmers are already wearing so many hats that running an additional business is not always going to be an option for every farm. And like, honestly, it is a lot of work to have the storefront like open to the public. And do I spread myself too thin? 100%. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a sustainable option for myself, like moving forward. And as you know, there's a bunch of talk in the legislature right now about trying to have a little bit more guidance on rules for what is allowed on farmland, including farm stands or farm stores. Mm-hmm. So the future is a little bit, it's not very clear right now, mm-hmm. like what is going to be a complete option for farmers to be able to diversify their income in that way.
And you mentioned also the challenge with, with yourself stretching yourself so thin. This gets down to the question where I imagine you're also probably dealing with a lot of uncertainties when it comes to labor out there right now.
Yeah, Mark, that's a huge part of it. Fruit
Lisa.
Is very, very, very labor intensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you think about the thousands of acres that people can run doing wheat or other crops, that is just not the case with tree fruit. You have to have a double-digit crew to be able to harvest things on time, to get your pruning done in a timely manner, which adds up. I mean, labor is a very, very expensive part of the farm operation, and if you do not have dependable people, that puts a lot of extra stress on a farmer.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, and then there's just the supply of those people themselves.
Yeah, yep, correct. We're mm-hmm. seeing a big shift. Like I mentioned, my husband's father, and he had a lot of siblings that came up to the Hood River Valley, but they're aging out of the workforce, and that's a huge problem because we do not have young people interested in doing the farm jobs.
I guess this curls back to where we started. I mean, with all those things we mentioned, and we probably could go further along that route. Obviously, this it must be very ingrained with you because it doesn't sound like that it's, it certainly is not the way to riches, from what I can tell.
No, it is not. I have always been warned you do not farm for the lucrative side of it. This mm-hmm. is, you've got to be in it for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting because you have some big-time investors who on paper think that they can make all this money because, I mean, fresh fruit is on the more expensive side. Like, we see prices at the grocery stores, but in reality, that is, that $3 a pound is spread out over so many different little outlets taking little bits here and there. So I have seen people come to farm, and after a few years, it does not make sense to them. And if you do not have that deep-rooted connection, I think it's pretty easy for people to bow out because you're not going to get rich quick doing this. Mm-hmm.
And again, you're up in the Odell area. You have the Farmer in Odell fruit stand, a nice little play on words. Very, very good on that one.
Thank you.
I shouldn't assume you have kids, but I'm just going to assume you do.
Yeah, we decided to have kids a little bit late, so we have a 3-year-old right now, and part of that is because we were working so hard mm-hmm. in our 20s to give ourselves a good base. Yeah. Like, we had this goal that we were shooting for, mm-hmm. and I'm not kidding, we worked our butts off in our early 20s and into early 30s, so yes, we had kids a little bit on the later side, but I am so happy now that I get to share these experiences with our son, and he loves being out on the farm. And I think it is a wonderful way for kids to grow up.
I was just going to ask, based on that is, and it sounds like you would you want your kids to follow up in your footsteps?
Mark, I'm going to say yes, because I think agriculture is one of the most important, I'm going to say occupation. Farming mm-hmm. is such an important occupation that, yes, I want my son to be able to farm. Mm-hmm. Do I want it to be easier for him in the future? Yes, I do. Like any parent, you want your kid to have maybe a few less challenges. But I honestly don't know what the future will hold for small farms. There's a lot of consolidation going on right now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to hold my breath for that. Like, yes, I want that to be an opportunity for him, but things are pretty scary in the landscape right now.
One last question here before we let you get away, and we tell people about what's okay. coming up in 2 weeks. And that is, as the Hood River Valley has evolved and Mid-Columbia has evolved into some other areas from the tourism sector to the technology sector, et cetera, do you think people here realize how important ag is to the whole economic picture?
I am going to say no. That farms are kind of in the backdrop. Like, it makes a great space to go bike riding or for Sunday drives, but no, I do not think people understand the importance of farms here in the Valley.
And I would imagine that's one of the reasons you're doing this with Sarah in a couple of weeks.
Yes, it is. It's easy to want to just stay on my farm and quote-unquote hide. Like, I'm out here in the peaches right now assessing what kind of work I'm going to have to accomplish in the next couple weeks and to just kind of let the world go by. But Mark, like I said, it's a really scary time, and if we do not get out and tell our story, we will just get paved over. Mm-hmm. And that might still be the case. I mean, we can shout from the rooftops, and once the train leaves the station, so to speak, I don't know if there's any stopping it, but I will go down fighting.
Lisa Perry will be with Ricardo Galvez, her husband, to speak at the Sense of Place series, I think, on Sarah's coming on the 18th of February.
Uh-huh.
And 7 o'clock in the evening, as usual, Columbia Center for the Arts. I think you open the doors at 6.
Doors at 6, show at 7, get your tickets ahead of time.
Senseofplacegorge.org.
Correct.
And you've done agriculture before in this because you've done this for a long time.
Yeah, we have. But I think what's really important, as with any topic or community, is it's not a monolithic group. Mm-hmm. Like, Lisa Perry's and Ricardo's farm is one version of a family farm. Leslie Tamora and Adam McCarthy's farms that we talked about a few years ago are different versions. And just as there's diversity with any group, within radio producers, mm-hmm. and doctors and lawyers and everything, there is within farming. And so I think it's really important that folks can put faces and stories and be specific about who the people are in our community doing the work. And I have to say, Lisa is doing this because she knows it's good to tell her stories, but this is not necessarily what she wants to be doing. She's got work to do. And so I think she's put up with some arm twisting to join us, and I'm so excited. She will tell you she doesn't have any stories, but I can assure anyone who shows up, she is full of sharing the stories of what it means to go out and work in the soil and be with the fruit trees and do the job every day. And it's pretty special what she knows.
Lisa, thanks for spending some time this morning. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I really do look forward to meeting people at the event. So I do hope people will come out and listen.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. We will talk to you soon. Sarah, thanks for being here again, as usual.
Thank you.
And again, on February 18th, go to senseofplacegorge.org and get your tickets for that. They tend to sell out the tickets for these, usually within a few days of the show. So, and of course, I guess you can watch it online if you don't get a ticket.
Yeah, but I will give listeners a sneak peek that I think there's going to be fresh fruit out in the lobby for folks. So
okay.
Worth showing up.
By the way, how did the volcano thing go, of listening?
It was really wild. It was explosive, you might say.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Because that was something where you did it twice, too.
Two performances, yeah.
A little different.
Yeah.
But
I am going to continue to scheme on ways that we can explore and learn in unconventional or interdisciplinary ways, because I think it's interesting. I think it really encourages us to think differently. As Leif Carlstrom pointed out, why do we always use our eyes to interpret science by looking at graphs? Why don't we listen to a graph or listen to data? Mm-hmm. Because our ears are very good at picking up patterns. That's why songs are so memorable.
Mm-hmm.
So we're totally ignoring this hugely valuable sense. And so he's along with others, approaching science in a whole new way that is making waves.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you. It's almost 8:30 in the morning. We'll come back and do the news for you right after this.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Hi, I'm Jackie from Hawks Ridge Assisted Living. As a new year begins, it's a natural time to think about comfort, care, and the next step for those you love. We currently have availability, including two spacious one-bedroom apartments and one beautiful studio apartment. Located in the outdoor paradise of Hood River, Hawks Ridge offers four levels of assisted living care that support independence while providing peace of mind. We'd love to welcome your friends, clients, or loved ones home. Hawks Ridge, your new home in the new year.
Heartache is the pits. Having trouble letting go of your old, antique, dare we say, nearly departed copier? When the day finally comes to let go, we'll be there to help. Your friends at Bonds Printing and Office Supply feel your pain. We've heard your cries of frustration and will help you in your transition from the old to a new state-of-the-art multifunctional office machine from the award-winning line of Konica Minolta right here at Bonds. But seriously, we'll be there in your hour of need. Bonds Printing and Office Supply, 308 Union, The Dalles.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And we welcome you back as our time now is 8:31 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. And we'll be joined here in a few minutes by Cameron Dietz Fuller from OSU Extension, Wasco County. We're going to talk about some of their STEM and computer robotics type programs they've got going on right now. So we will do that in a few minutes. But first, as we hit the bottom of the hour and actually go by it a tad, here's what's in the news. As the Bridge of the Gods enters its centennial year, the Port of Cascade Locks has received early findings of an ongoing study focused on pedestrian safety, bridge preservation, and seismic resilience. The study by Parsons Transportation Group began in early 2025. Early phases of the Bridge of the Gods study have included extensive technical field work and analysis to better understand existing conditions. As found, foundations and substructure are in better than expected condition, seismic conditions are more favorable than expected, critical information gaps have been filled, and continuous data collection is helping the port understand real-time strains and stresses. With a technical baseline now established, the study moves into its next phase of work, including a vessel collision assessment to better understand navigation risk, continuing monitoring structural health and performance data, and beginning the conceptual development of potential retrofit actions. A federal judge ruling ICE cannot arrest people in Oregon without warrants. U.S. District Court Judge Mustafa Kasubai issued a preliminary injunction and said there is ample evidence in the case that established a pattern of practice of executing warrantless arrests without sufficient evidence. Lawyers with Portland-based Innovation Law Labs said their goal is to stop ICE's policy of arrest first, justify later. Oregon lawmakers meeting at the Capitol to balance the state budget are getting a little bit better economic forecast than expected. Lawmakers will have about $106 million more dollars of revenue to work with in the state's general fund than expected, and $50 million more from other non-general fund revenues, a significant increase from the $63 million budget deficit they were expected to be grappling with following the last economic forecast in November, and near full turnaround from the $373 million deficit they were told to expect back in August. Oregon lawmakers are weighing a bill that would strengthen protections for people who receive, provide, or help others obtain reproductive health care including abortions or gender-affirming treatment in the state. House Bill 4088 comes amid an increasingly fragmented national legal landscape, where some states have moved to restrict access to abortions and gender-affirming care, while Oregon and others have sought to protect it. Eugene Democrat Representative Lisa Fregala, the bill's chief sponsor, told lawmakers on the House Judiciary Committee that HB 4088 is meant to reinforce Oregon's longstanding position that personal health care decisions should be made by patients and their doctors, not by politicians or government officials from other states. Our current temperatures at this time, 41 in Stevenson, 40 in the Dalles, 38 in Hood River. It is 8:34 in the morning.
Craving bold flavors and a warm welcome? Head to Casa El Mirador in the Dalles. Known for their famous hot sizzling fajitas, Casa El Mirador serves up fresh, flavorful Mexican favorites that arrive steaming right to your table. But it's not just the food, it's the stellar hospitality that keeps locals coming back. From friendly service to generous portions and gold medal winning margaritas, every visit feels like a celebration. Come enjoy the sizzle and the fiesta of flavor at Casa El Mirador, online at CasaElMirador.com.
Hi, this is Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. We're so excited to operate in our new location, just a stone's throw away from our old shop. A family-run business since 2003, Del Carpine continues to provide exceptional auto repair service for both foreign and domestic vehicles, even Sprinter vans. From simple oil changes to complex engine restorations, our experienced team is here to keep you safely on the road. Visit us at our great new location or give us a call at 541-386-3133. Del Carpine Automotive, family-owned and locally trusted.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Partly sunny skies this morning, and then a little more clearing is in the forecast. High temperatures, low 50s, and we could see some breezy east winds through the day.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And welcome back as it is 8:36 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. And we're now going to be talking to, from OSU Extension of Wasco County, Cameron Dietz Fuller joins us. Good morning, Cameron.
Good morning. How are you doing, Mark?
All right. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Doing good.
So, you are involved in at OSU Extension there. Sounds like a lot of the kind of the video game, robotics, STEM type of programs that you that are available through OSU Extension, and I assume 4-H also, aren't you?
Yes, that is correct. I do a lot of the STEM side, so science, technology, engineering, math. So, like you said, robotics. Coding, we've done stuff with 3D printing and 3D modeling, all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm.
So part of that involves, I know with the robotics clubs, at least in the Dalles area, they've had a lot of success in that area, going to competitions, things like that, if I remember right.
Yeah, so I primarily work with the middle school and mm-hmm. some elementary school. The competitive side is just middle and high school, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I know for the middle school teams, we've been going to tournaments. We have our state tournament in Sandy coming up on the 21st. And then I know in previous years, the high school students have actually gone to the Worlds competition as well.
All right. So let's talk about some of the things that you have offered. And one of them, actually, I can see where kids would love this. You've got a video game coding club for middle and high school students. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. So this is awesome. This is a new one this year that we're offering. It is, in fact, fully online. Students meet on Tuesdays from 3:30 to 5 on Microsoft Teams. And this can be an app that's downloaded, or in many cases can just be accessed by on Google Chrome or Microsoft Edge, whatever browser you use. And we code games. For the middle schoolers, they tend to use, especially when it's their first time coding, they tend to use programs such as Scratch or Microsoft MakeCode Arcade, which is block coding. Those are also web-based, which means you don't have to do any downloads whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Everything can just be through your web browser. Mm-hmm. And we also take attendance and use the attendance and what they're doing for their game. We mark everything down almost like it's a budget. And we kind of treat it like as if they're their own game developers. So, you know, they have to pay for themselves with living wages. That's their attendance, the cost of adding characters and levels, music, all that kind of stuff. And we get to see an idea of what it may be like to be a game developer. And then for those wanting to compete, it does lead up to a competition in May, where they actually treat it like a science fair, and they get to go show off their game, win awards. It's really cool. It's really cool.
Now, is everybody working on developing the same game, or is everybody doing their own game?
So at the moment, everyone is doing their own game. Mm-hmm. Normally it is in teams. I know the competition asks for students to be in teams, and so you can usually expect a set of two, maybe three students to be working on one game. One person can be doing coding, one person can be doing artwork and music, another person can be doing the designs for the levels and helping with the coding, things like that. But again, there are students who just, everyone's got their own ideas that they want to make come to life. I know one of my students is doing a fun one that's just, it's basically a coconut simulator. You play as a coconut and you're trying to find a spot to become a palm tree. That's the whole game.
Well, I was going to ask, I mean, did this really start with the kids coming up with their own idea for a game? I mean, are there kind of starting points, or is this truly just flat out from scratch? What do you, you know, think about what you want to have for a game and then try to make it?
Oh, yeah, this is truly from scratch. We have some brainstorming tools to help out with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I know my current students have come up with these ideas themselves. And so, again, a lot of it is just coming up with ideas from scratch. Maybe it's like, oh, I'll finally get a chance to code a game. I've been thinking about this one for a while, or this would be a cool idea. And we have brainstorming tools to help come up with a setting, maybe a brief storyline. Is it more of an arcade-style game, or you're just trying to get a high score and see how far you can go?
Now,
it's really all up to the student.
Okay. So how do kids get involved in the video game coding club? How do they get signed up?
So a lot of our postings you can find within our Facebook page, Wasco County 4-H. And we post all of our offerings there. We also show updates, like again, for the robotics, for the tournament coming up, or just showing how well they're doing. You can find links and QR codes on our Facebook page. I've also reached out to different schools about promoting this because it's a fully online one, meaning if you do online school or you go to the Dallas Middle School or you go to Doofer or wherever else, you can have access to it. You can also call the phone number at 541-965-3989. That'll reach to me, and then I can also get you set up as well.
You work with some of the after-school clubs on some of these STEM-type opportunities for kids. Really ranging, I think, sounds like through most grade levels, starting at elementary school and on up.
Yeah, so we actually work with a group of people named the After School Academy, or ASA, and they've been a great partner and allowing us to reach to multiple kids across multiple elementary schools in the area. And so I do robotics there currently with them. We've also done some other maker stuff where they're using cardboard and different materials and sticks and pipes and all sorts of things to come up and make different inventions and ideas. And then, of course, with the robotics, they move from the elementary, then they can join the competitive at the middle school, and then they can continue on to the competitive at the high school, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm.
So those are available also. And then in the summertime, you are going to be offering a number of day camps of involving STEM projects. So what are you going to have available for kids? I think I've talked about this a year ago or so with somebody, and usually it's a pretty good list, and it ranges through a wide variety of STEM topics.
Yes. So it's all continuing with our STEM stuff. We're in the process of getting our brainstorming ideas done now, but there will definitely be some that we're going to keep going with. And, for example, last year we had a maker studio, and what this was a three-day camp. We had it available for 1 week, and then you could do it if you wanted for a second week as well, so you could do a total of 6 days. And each day you would come in, and we had multiple stations set up. We had a woodworking station, a cardboard station. We had a paint station, a station for making 3D models and 3D printing. We had so many multiple different options for kids to go around and work on different projects. They could do little ones at each station, or they could do one big one that involved multiple stations. We had an introduction to 3D printing that was a one-day camp. Kids showed up, everyone had a computer, and they got to learn a free web-based tool called Tinkercad, which is a really easy-to-use 3D modeling tool, and get to make their own 3D models. Send them home with a USB, so then that way they could download it, save it, and then get it 3D printed. We've offered some other unique ones, such as rocketry, where you get to make these like water bottle rockets using like 2-liter bottles, send them flying up at Cirrhosis Park. We've even offered some brand new ones, such as for those ones who are interested in Dungeons & Dragons, for example. We had a Science of D&D, where they got to learn and play Dungeons & Dragons. And in place of puzzles and dice rolling for puzzles, we had STEM problems, such as intro to coding problems, problems using gear ratios to make gears go faster or slower for their needs, things like that. And for this next summer, we're probably going to continue with lots of those similar ideas. We're going to have a maker studio, continue with other ideas such as most likely intro 3D printing. Mm-hmm. Those popular ones we will continue with.
I know that these are very popular and they fill up pretty quick. When do you expect to have a schedule and a kind of a catalog of exactly what you're planning to do available?
I would start looking about, I would say, mid-April. But from there on out, keep an eye out. We'll send out updates, of course, about when those get started, whether that's through our clubs and promoting in school, on our Facebook page.
So, and one of the great things about these that I observe with all of this, it's not just fun and it's just not learning for school. These are skills that these kids are acquiring through these efforts. This is going to accompany them their entire lives. This can set them up on truly for careers down the road.
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the most important ones in STEM, especially robotics, and for the kids, it's probably a weird one to hear, but it's learning how to fail, because you're not going to get something right the first time. It's going to take multiple attempts and trying again, maybe even trying a whole new approaches in order to get something down, to get something correct. And so, again, for the kids, it might be a weird one to hear, but learning to fail is one of those big ones that can be a very big, helpful life lesson.
Yeah. So, again, for those who are interested in all this, from the Video Game Coding Club to the after-school opportunities to what will be coming up in the summertime when you announce that toward the springtime, again, where people can go to look and keep up to date, and if their child wants to be involved, they can get them involved.
So our Wasco County 4-H page on Facebook, that is going to have all of our updates, anything from club postings to updates about how competitions are going, I know we normally need volunteers for our robotics competitions, otherwise we won't be able to get them to run. We'll post asking for volunteers on there as well. That's a great way for those high school students in the National Honor Society to get their community service hours. We'll post updates about summer camps, all that stuff on our Facebook page.
Cameron Dietz Fuller has been with us. He is at OSU Extension in Wasco County. Cameron, thanks for sharing all this. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And we're coming up on 8:50 in the morning. Mid-Columbia Today will continue right after this.
Sound familiar? At Mattress Firm, we understand there are many problems that can keep you up at night, like snoring, aches and pains, or sleeping hot. Our sleep experts have the unrivaled know-how to match you with a mattress that can help. And now at Mattress Firm, you can upgrade to a queen mattress and adjustable base for just $499.99. For the great sleep you deserve, visit Mattress Firm. We make sleep easy. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Snapshot from Progressive wasn't created for just anybody. Oh no, we made it for you. Smooth accelerators. When that light turns green, you're off. Like a warm knife through firm butter. Going from zero to the speed limit in an appropriate amount of time. Sure, your car has horsepower, but your horses prance around as silky smooth as your right foot. Fancy Prancerton. With Snapshot, safe drivers like you get personalized rates based on your driving habits. Sign up today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all ages.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
Welcome back at 8:51 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Mark Bailey with Cameron Eisenberg producing this morning. We have a few more minutes here. Mentioned the story on the news earlier that the latest state revenue forecast, state of Oregon, is, I will term it more better. The story that we got said it's a much rosier economic forecast. I'm not sure. It basically drops their hole down to $650 million budgetarily. So it's not like magically making everything wonderful again. I mean, it is better. I mean, $106 million more revenue to work with in the state general fund, about $50 million more for other non-general fund revenues. And there was supposed to be actually a $373 million deficit in revenues back in the summer. So, I mean, it has improved immensely. Now, I know that the new team that does this, part of what Tina Kotek established, actually, was to have more conservative revenue forecasts, in part because of the kicker. And then that's what we're seeing now. Apparently part of the reason for the better forecast is a gap between market forecast and actual revenues has been a problem for not just the state economists, but national ones. Data showing strong economic output in the midst of market uncertainty from tariffs, an anemic labor market, and rising unemployment is confounding economists right now. And possible reasons are rebalancing and hiring that boomed after COVID, the proliferation of artificial intelligence in the workplace. It's too difficult to tell right now. Also, lawmakers have under $47 million in unspent revenue from the last budget cycle to apply to the state budget during the next 18 months. So, there's more money to work with, and we'll probably get into this. Jeff Helfrich will be back with us next Friday on the 13th. And I'm sure we'll discuss it. and how this changes some of the dynamics. I'm not sure it changes it all that much. But, again, you're doing the 35-day short session. Any change in the dynamic like this could have fairly immediate repercussions as far as what comes out of all this. But we'll wait and see. We'll see what happens. I'm almost to the point now, I don't even want to ever begin to predict what they're going to do in Salem. Not an idea. Not a clue. 8:54 in the morning. We'll come back, tell you what's coming up tomorrow for the upcoming shows right after this.
I am Heidi Headland, the quality manager at Skyline. I'm able to participate in all the patient care processes that are important, like what prevents patient falls from happening, what prevents patient infections from happening. Those type of things happen very rarely here at Skyline, I am happy to say. Skyline's a great place to stay if your family member is sick or if you get sick, because quality is a foundational aspect of Skyline Health. I am Skyline.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
It is now 8:55 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. And on the show, coming up over the next few days on the program, here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow, we're talking animals again. Dr. Mike Foss from Alpine Veterinary is here to talk animals. Monday, we will talk Mid-Columbia Center for the Living, have a subject from them, and we'll talk Port of the Dalles. Tuesday, we're going to talk Hood River County with Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer and Administrator Allison Williams, and we'll talk Wasco County. I'm trying to remember what county commissioner it's going to be. It was Phil Brady last month, so it's Scott Hagee or Jeff Justison. I just can't remember which. But one of them will be with us. On a Wednesday, we'll talk Mid-Columbia Community Action, and we'll talk Hood River County Health Department. Thursday, we're going to talk about, and we mentioned this in the news, the Bridge of the Gods study that came out yesterday. We're going to get into that in depth. We'll talk with the Port of Cascade Locks, and I believe we're actually going to talk to one of the folks involved in the study itself. And so we will do that next Thursday. Plus, we'll talk Providence Hood River next Thursday. Friday, Oregon State Representative Jeff Helfrich, and we'll talk Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. So that is all coming up on the Mid-Columbia Today program over the next week plus, actually. That'll take us to Valentine's Day, for those of you who are concerned about that. I got to listen to somebody talk about yesterday how much they hate Valentine's Day. Okay, I'm becalmed about it. You know, I've been married 30 plus years, so actually it's as of this today 33 years as of today. It's my anniversary today with my wife Jacqueline. So I was successful at least one thing in life, apparently, being married. I'm not sure about the rest of it, but I got that right, I'm happy to say. So going to try to have a good day today. Mind you, tomorrow, Hood River Valley Eagle basketball. We'll have Hillsboro. Doubleheader will be on at 4 o'clock. Or, I'm sorry, 5:30. I need to get there by 4. 5:30 at Hillsboro. Means I got to leave early. Sunset Highway. A lot of fun. A lot of fun driving. Probably my least favorite trip in this conference is that one. Because I'm going to get to sit on a freeway parked for a little while. Also, we'll remind everybody that the Hood River Valley Baseball Fundraiser is coming up Saturday evening, 5-day Hood River Elks Club. Still got tickets available, $40. They're $50 the night of. You can go to the Hood River Valley Baseball Facebook page and get your tickets. They're going to have a dinner, live and silent auction, all sorts of fun. I'll be there too, which I'm not sure is a selling point, but there you go. I am going to be there. I think I'm introducing some folks during the course of that event. You know, just trying to be that genial... The genial MC. I do that for the Hall of Fame banquet, too. Athletic Hall of Fame. So, I'm going to do it for baseball as well, which I suppose makes sense because I am the voice of that baseball team on radio. We're done. I ran out of stuff to say. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Friday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Today's Country, KIA.